Good evening, everybody. God bless, saints. Sorry for a few minutes delay there, just trying to get things in order. Welcome, everybody, to our Wednesday night Bible study. It's really good to gather once again. It's good to gather, as we always say, in the middle of the week. We all need a bit of a boost. There's many things that rise up in this life, many things that come our way. And may the Lord help us to just get some fellowship with Him. I'm sure you, like me, you desire that. We wanted to continue on our topic this evening. If I share my screen here, what we started, we had thought maybe to try to hit the nail on the head this evening, but I just saw that there was a little bit more maybe we needed to cover, and maybe on Sunday we could get really to the point. Let's see how we go. But just to continue on with a bit of a background to what we're speaking about, I think, it would maybe help us a little bit this evening if we do that. Just speaking with people and getting feedback from people, I think we might need to just have a look at some more background principles of this before we really get it to the end. I'm sure you're like me, you'd like to get it to the end because, as I put on the first slide, this topic sure raises people's blood pressure. If you want to get people's blood pressure up, start speaking about screens and start speaking about how much time you spend on social media and so forth. They say one of the biggest symptoms of addiction is denial. And if that's the case, then a lot of people are addicted to social media and that, because you speak to people and everybody denies it. No, I'm in charge of my phone. No. Well, that's good. May the Lord bless you. But it does, it really raises blood pressure. And you get different reactions from people. The first one you get is, "Don't tell me how to spend my time, buddy." That's what people are trying to do. And the other one is some of the young people, "What's he going to say next? I hope my parents aren't watching," and things like that. You get that kind of a reaction as well. So you can see that there's many different reactions you get when you get onto these kind of topics, which helps me to realize that we need to be on this topic. There's so many things that have convinced me and just confirmed to me the importance of this topic. But what we need is His grace in addressing this topic. Because, I mean, the topic in itself, if we just do it in the flesh, if we don't do it wisely, if we're not led of the Lord, what good does it do to go through these things? We just make things worse. And the thing of it is we're living in the digital age, and whether we like it or not, the Lord ordained us to live in this age with all of these challenges. And the digital age, the digital dimension can be a blessing as well. We can use these things wisely. We can connect with believers all over the world in an instant. We can share good things immediately. We can send videos to people. People can send us music. People can send us, so many good things. If we're just disciplined in the way that we use our devices, how we use this dimension, this digital dimension, it can be a real blessing if we put it in the hands of the Lord and we're disciplined and we follow His way of using these things. There's a lot of things which we can use it for, which are very beneficial. And that's what we're wanting to do. I mean, that is our aim and that is our objective. We wanted to better understand our age. It's the mind age. This is where the challenge is. And we want to understand our enemy, because the enemy is going to be trying to use everything he can in this age against us. Now, he overcame all the ages before us. He's going to be probing to find where's our weakness in this age. And most importantly, we want to know our weapons. We want to know who our Lord is and the weapons that He's given us so we can be better equipped in the age that we're living. And just before we pray, just to say, we're not Amish people. We're not coming on here now to say we don't believe in new technology. No, let's use an abacus and let's use a notepad and don't type things. No, we don't believe. We're not Muslims who are stuck in the 5th century, the way they dress and all the names they give to people. No, the wonderful thing about the gospel is it's relevant for every generation and every time. And we as believers, we want to harness anything which we can use for the glory of God, anything we can put into the hands of the Lord that's not sinful, that has no compromise, and we have the right motive. God can use it for His glory. So you can use your phone for His glory. You can use social media for His glory. We can use YouTube for His glory. We're using it this evening. We're only be streaming live on YouTube. I mean, so it's not so much the media that we're speaking about, which is the problem, but it's the content, as we'll see. That's what we've got to be so careful. So we're not Amish people. We're not against technology. You know, I know in certain sections they really are. You know, they want to keep technology away. I don't think we need to throw the baby out with the bathwater, but I can see there's a problem here because it's new. It's a new battlefield, like we say. It's the Wild West. The boundaries and parameters haven't been set very clearly yet, so we can go from one extreme to another if we're not careful. So we desire the Lord to help us. So let's pray for the Lord to guide us and lead us. Lord, may you help us this evening once again. We look to you to glorify your name. May you bless all of your people that are tuned in. May Father, you help us now to forget about the busyness of the day and the complexity of the day and the various things that we've been through. And help us to set our minds upon you. And may you draw near to us, because the only way we can get in your spirit is, Lord, when you anoint us and draw near to us and we yield ourselves unto you. So bless this fellowship, bless the study, we pray. Give us wisdom, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, saints, like I say, we're not Amish people. We're not anti-technology people. We're people who do appreciate technology, because for me to study up on these things, I would have had to go to a library, go and search through 72 volumes of encyclopedias, search through stuff, and that encyclopedia might have been 10 years out of date. Whereas if I want to find up-to-date information, I can just get myself on Google, I can search, I can find relevant up-to-date information. So it can be very, very beneficial. It's like your Bible, trying to find a verse or trying to find a theme in your Bible. What a blessed thing. Open your Bible app, put in a word, all the verses with that word, and meet it. You don't have to get a concordance, search through paper, search. No, it's so much more efficient. If we just use these things wisely, they can be a blessing. But we need discipline to be able to do that, because we need to use them properly and not abuse them. And we don't need them to use us, because without the Lord's grace and discipline, this quickly happens. We start off with good intentions. Go and fetch my emails. Navigate to John's house. Show me the news. Yes, master. The phone is the master. Is you the master of the phone? And then after a while, it's charge me. And where's my Wi-Fi signal? And answer that email. And WhatsApp is calling you once again. And we're bowing down and we're saying, yes, master. And just unfortunately, this happens almost inevitably in the lives of people. If we're not disciplined, if you don't know the battleground, if you don't know the principles of the word, if the Lord doesn't give us grace, it's so very easy for these devices to become our masters, where we are supposed to be mastering these things. Yeah. And unfortunately, this happens to a large majority of device users. There you can see your device is playing you like a puppet. And we do that. The moment something buzzes, doesn't matter what you were doing, notification comes on your phone, you forget everything else, and now you're bowing down to the master of the phone who's calling you again. No matter what you were doing, you know, you might have been reading your Bible, bing, something goes. Here comes your device calling you away from time with the Lord to come into the whatever it is that it's trying to summons you to. No, we need discipline. That's really what we need. And this happens, like I say, to the large majority, including us as believers. And then we start getting wise and we start seeing, but no, this is not good the way that I'm handling these devices. It's starting to handle me. Because according to the scriptures, we are a peculiar people. And we are a different kind of people. We shouldn't be just acting with these things the way the world acts. There should be a difference between the way a believer handles technology and the way the world does. You know, your faith, the Christ in your life should be reflected in every aspect of your life. We are called to be the overcomers of this age. And this is a dimension we need to overcome. We need to, you know, have it under our control. We're supposed to, and are called to show dominion over Satan in our age, the way Jesus did in his age, and Paul did in his age, and Wesley did in his age, and Luther did in his age, and Daniel did in his age. We are called to overcome the conditions of our age. And that's our calling. That's our commission that the Lord has given us. And it's a sacred calling, a sacred commission, and it's a battle, because it's a battlefield, and this battlefield has opened up. I sent this one out today. I finally realized it. People are prisoners of their phones. That's why they call cell phones. You know, they call cell phones. And the brother David Nash sent me a funny one saying, yes, you need to see how many bars you've got. You know, you look at your bars of signal. He's got four bars there on his phone. Yeah, so it's a very good thing that we don't want these things to become prisons to take us captive. We don't want that. We want to use these things for the glory of God, for the refreshment of our spirits, for fellowshipping with one another, for reaching out to other people, for watching things that are beneficial, for times we want to rest. There's good content you want to find so that we can just relax, but we're going to need the right boundaries and parameters. And when Christ came, he came to set us free. The cross, and now the new birth, the Holy Ghost, the revelation of the Word mustn't just be a theoretical thing in our lives. You know, that we're in bondage to our phones, we're in bondage to social media, we're in bondage to our video games, and yet we speak about being victors in Christ and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. No, we want that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me to be real. He must strengthen me so I can take dominion over my phone, so that I can use things for his glory and not just for the flesh or to allow the devil to distract me and the devil to entice me and all those things that he wants to do with these devices as well. And we want this victory of Christ. Now, he died to give us victory. We want it to be displayed in every aspect of our lives, including how we spend our time. Through who we phone, how we use the devices, what we look at on our devices, what games we play, what we read, what we listen to. And that's going to need us to yield more to the Lord and allow him to take us deeper and deeper into the victory he purchased for us. And that's going to need wisdom and grace and tutorship, mentorship, discipleship for the Lord to help us and show us how we can better serve him in every aspect of our lives. It doesn't happen overnight. No, so Jesus died to give us true dominion over all things. And we want the Lord to come into this aspect as well to give us dominion here. Then these things can be a blessing to us and a blessing to other people. So why do we need to address these kind of issues? Because it's spiritual warfare. This one of devices, phones, internet, video games, leading to pornography, leading to all manners of unbelief and things we watch which we shouldn't watch and things we listen to that we shouldn't listen to. These are very real issues that are affecting believers in very real ways. These are not theories that we're speaking about. So we're not just speaking, although we have the last couple of weeks, about how this affects our mental health or our physical health, but more importantly, this affects people's spiritual life. And the amazing thing is many people don't seem to recognize or realize this. Many people feel lukewarm inside of their life and don't realize that their phone is a very big measure of why they're lukewarm. Yeah. Social media is a very big cause or factor in our lukewarmness or our lack of power in our life. Because we stay up so late at night, we spend so much time on social media, we never have time with the Lord. And we never have time to fall in love with the Lord, or to get close enough to the Lord that he can win our hearts and reveal himself to us in a very real way. So, these are very real issues affecting very good people. We have very good young people in our church that are being affected by these very things. And that's why we're trying to cover these things from different angles. We're not trying to come with a whip and whip people with it, but you're trying to give people an understanding. That's what you're trying to say. We're trying to sound the alarm and say, saints, be careful. The Bible says in Laodicean church age, people are miserable and naked and they don't know it. It's a sad thing when the enemy is overcoming and you don't know why he's overcoming. Why am I not victorious in my life anymore? Why is my joy gone? Why is my first love gone? This is one aspect of spiritual warfare that Satan's using very effectively because people don't realize what a grip these things have over their spiritual life as well. How much these things are affecting them spiritually. And the moment something starts affecting you spiritually, you need now to seek the grace of God to take dominion over that thing. Because Satan is going to keep using that to keep pulling you down, like we said with Samson on Sunday. So we need to address these things when they're affecting people's spiritual lives in a real way, affecting people's walk with the Lord, then we need to really start looking at these things seriously and saying, okay, what is the answer? Because the word has an answer. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So we need to shine light into this aspect as well, just as into everything else in this world, that when darkness wants to encroach on us, we need to shine light, and we're commissioned in the Bible to prove all things and to hold fast to that which is good. So need to test everything, check the spirit behind it, check whether it's beneficial, and then hold on to the good parts and get rid of the rest. Purge the leaven, the things that are unnecessary. So we don't want to like go extreme or overboard, but we need to be very serious on this issue because it is a serious issue. It's one of the most pressing issues among young people today. And I'm sure every single young person is honest would say that. That I struggle with my phone quite a bit. I struggle on social media. I think I spend too much time. You know, some of these things have got too much of a grip inside of my life, and they're affecting my walk with the Lord. That's why we want to focus on these things. Because Paul says we need to put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Once you've been through the battle, the time of temptation, Satan does everything, you want to still be standing as a believer. You don't want to be embarrassed and, you know, you've embarrassed the Lord, you've embarrassed yourself, you've given in to the enemy, you brought reproach like Samson did upon the name of the Lord. You don't want to be doing that. Now, Satan's going to give us blows. We're going to have to learn the hard way sometimes, but let's learn the lessons. Let's not just keep making the same mistakes and allowing the devil constantly to affect us in the same ways inside of our life. We need to be fully prepared, Paul says, and be equipped for the battle of our age. And that's a digital dimension, which is a big part of the battle in the last days, the spiritual warfare in the last days. And we want to be able to put on the armor, have the shield of faith, the sword of the spirit, and to stand. Having done all, Paul says, at the end of it all, still to be standing. You might have some scars. You might have learned some big lessons along the way. That's good. But you want to still be standing as a believer at the end of it all. Now, do you know that Paul addressed the issues of devices? I'm not sure if you know that in the Bible. Paul addressed the issue of devices. Does anybody know where the scripture is where he speaks of devices? Now, obviously, it's a play on words that I'm doing, but Paul says in 2 Corinthians 2, verse 11, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. No, it's an old English word, devices. It means his evil purposes. But I'm going to apply it here. We shouldn't be ignorant of his devices. Let's be careful. And when Satan rings, you don't have to answer. You know, you'd be very selective how you use his devices. These devices never came from the tree of life. These devices came from the tree of knowledge. So let's not be ignorant of his devices. Let's be wise, like Paul said, in the way that we deal with these things. So it's a challenge. This is a great challenge. You know, this whole digital dimension, video games, music, Spotify, MP3s, all these kind of things, YouTube, Instagram, all of this, the entertainment side, the social media, Facebook, all of that side. It's a great challenge, is it not? It's a challenge to every single one of us, to all of us, and particularly to the young ones. But the good thing, when the big challenge came in the days of David, it was a young one who overcame the challenge. And we want to be like that. We want to be equipped, want to be anointed, led of the Lord, have faith and revelation to overcome whatever challenges before us. That's what we're really, really wanting to do, no matter what our age is. You want to catch the vision of this age, the potential in this age, and you know the Satan's potential in this age as well. And then we want to overcome and understand and overcome the wiles, the strategies that Paul says of the enemy. Because we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but there's powers and principalities behind a lot of these things. And Satan comes with his wiles, his cunning strategies to try to entrap us and weigh us down and bring us into bondage. And we don't want to be like that. So we saw it a while back that the U.S. Surgeon General, and this is the highest ranking medical official in America. He advises the White House, the American government, on health policy. So he's the highest ranked. He takes all of the surveys, all the studies, all the accumulated knowledge. He studies it, finds it all, distills it all, unfilters it, and finds out what's the most important thing for the government to be focusing on in health policy. You know, so when he comes out with something, it's not a lightweight thing. Somebody asked me, are they, you know, some of these experts that you speak of, you know, maybe they could be extreme experts. No, we try to take the balance. There's people on extremes on both sides of every issue. There's people out there that'll tell you it's okay, unlimited screen time. Yeah, that's like going to a doctor when you've got very serious disease and he tells you take a paracetamol. You don't want to go to those kind of doctors. Then there's other people on the other extreme that want you to throw all the technology away. No. No, these are the sorts of people that don't get to these positions advising, the most powerful people in the world if they didn't have a reputation of knowing what they're speaking about. And we saw a few months back, it was last year, 2023, this guy, the Surgeon General, issued this urgent advisory. It's about 32 pages. If parents can read it, it'll do you good. Social media and youth mental health. That's what it was called, an urgent advisory. And he said in there, we are in the middle of a national youth mental health crisis. And I'm concerned that social media is an important driver of that crisis, one that we must urgently address. He didn't say, come, let's get rid of all social media. He didn't do that. We looked at it some months back. He came and said, we need boundaries and parameters. We need regulations. We need these things to be regulated. We need to watch over these things, the ages of children, how much they consume. And he was the one who said that no person 13 or under should ever be allowed to have a social media account. That's what he recommended. He says, because children are not, you don't want this influence when somebody's in that stage of their development. It doesn't do them any good. So we had a look at it a few months back. But the media picked up on him, and there was a lot of discussion in the magazines and the media concerning this. And Time magazine picked it up, and they had an article, How Much Screen Time is Too Much for Adults? So I started reading the article. It was a very good article. We might get into it another time. But there was a paragraph in there that gave me the thought for tonight. So the paragraph was this one. It's this particular lady. She's a former movie executive who studies the health effects of screen time, and she's a professor of psychology. So Time magazine, we're interviewing her. And she said, so how much screen time is too much for adults? That's the wrong question, experts say, speaking about her. The content you're consuming actually matters more than the overall time you spend on your phone. I mean, that's common sense, isn't it? You can watch 30 minutes of filth, of pornography. It's going to affect you terribly in your life more than somebody just goes and watches all this dumb, useless YouTube stuff that people watch for 3 hours. Just foolish joking, joking, joking. Yeah, so it's not so much, but yes, don't get me wrong. Time is important. We'll get onto it down the way. Now, the limits and stuff which they recommend, even in this report of the Surgeon General, but they're trying to say something. And don't just focus on time. It's focusing on content. What are you consuming? That's the most important thing. And that just really got me thinking to say, that's a very, very good thought. We need to have a look at that. So it's time versus content. If you go online and you share the gospel and you're online on Facebook sharing the gospel like Brother Sasha does on his Facebook account for 5 hours in a day, that is time well spent. Whereas you can just sit on YouTube and just keep watching its recommendations for 5 hours, and that's sinful behavior for a Christian because you're wasting time. Yes, it really just depends. You might have 3 hours watching YouTube mindlessly, and a person 6 hours online doing online research, the top there, like how Sunday school teachers, ministers, me, I use the internet a lot for research, finding out things, trying to, you have to dig into things. Obviously, there's no harm if you're researching for school, researching, if you wanted to understand your Bible better, you wanted to find out questions, whatever that it is. So content versus time, this is the big thing, obviously. Now, Paul hits this one on the head, which was our topic for the day, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Ephesians 5, verse 16. So, this is a commission, this is a command. The Holy Ghost is commanding us to redeem the time. Okay, now let's put it in context. The previous verse, verse 15, Paul says, take care then how you are living. Not as unwise, but as wise. This is just another translation. So take care how you're living. Don't be unwise. Don't be like fools. Making good use of the time, because the days are evil. So redeeming the time is making good use of your time. That's not me saying it. That's not your opinion, my opinion. This is Paul. The Holy Ghost in Paul is telling us as believers to make good use of the time because the days are evil. Don't waste your time. And I think this is going to hit a lot of things on the head if you just take this one scripture into account. Because the internet age is an age where you can waste a lot of time. It's very easy to break this scripture in this life that we're living now. Very easy to not redeem the time. Now, I like this from the King James Dictionary when they take this verse. How does a believer walk wisely and not walk foolishly? Paul said, don't walk like fools, walk wisely. Paul said, one way is by making the most of your time. In other words, the first sign that a person is wise is that he is sensitive to how he uses his time. He makes a disciplined use of his time. So Paul's giving us one of the definitions, one of the attributes of being wise is you're careful how you use your time. One way of being foolish, according to the scripture, is you don't redeem your time. You know, you waste your time. You just spend your time on things that are just, you know, unnecessary. Redeeming the time calls for a supernatural sense of urgency. For the time is short for each and every one of us. That's what Paul's saying. So Paul is saying, if you could realize how short your life is, if you could realize the commission you have, if you could realize the potential of what your life could be, if you redeem the time and use your life, the time wisely, you would have an urgency inside of yourself. You know, you would say, no, I want to serve the Lord. I want to finish my course. I want to do something for the Lord. But instead, it's so easy to get into the Laodicean spirit, lukewarmness, and we can spend 3-4 hours at a time just playing things, looking at things, watching things, where there's absolutely nothing of God in it. You say, and the problem is it's become normal. Even when I say that, many people are saying, oh, what's wrong with that? You're just breaking the scripture. That's what's wrong with it. We're supposed to be redeeming the time. Now, spending time watching a good movie with your family on a day when you all need to rest is redeeming the time, because that's spending time wisely. You need time for recreation. You need time for rest. Paul's not saying you mustn't rest. Jesus said, come apart and rest for a while. So there's times you need to rest, times you need to unwind, absolutely. Yeah, so that can be a wise use of time. But when we extend it for too long, it's not a wise use of time anymore. Yeah. You know, so we need to be wise in how we use our time. That's what Paul is telling us to do. The prophet says in the message, Desperation, I believe the days that we're living in should cause the church to go completely into desperation. Yeah. He's meaning we should have an urgency in our souls to say, time is running out. The rapture's at hand. We don't have much more time to serve the Lord. The darkness is pressing in Scotland now. It's almost impossible to preach the gospel on the street or say anything about sin, because they passed this law last week, which it's so easy for them to imprison you for saying anything about the gay agenda or anything like that now. It's pressing in, saints, it's pressing in. And, you know, the prophet is saying that if the Holy Ghost is in you, you know, and you start realizing why the message came and what is the message saying, and you feed on the message, you feed on the scriptures, you spend time with the Lord, it's impossible for you to be comfortable spending 3-4 hours wasteless time. You know, you can't do that. But if you're lukewarm in Laodicea, it's very easy to do that, and it's very easy to get lukewarm. And lukewarmness comes when we don't redeem the time. You know, we relax like David, never went to battle, lying on your bed in the afternoon, just relaxing. God's side, you look, oh, you see Bathsheba. Now you go and you bring a crisis in your life, a defilement in your life. He should have been redeeming the time, because it was the time the kings go to battle, the Bible says. So what did Jesus say? I must work the works of him that sent me while it's day, because night cometh when no man can work. Imagine Jesus always had this urgency, this something in him to say, I need to keep going. I need to finish this work. because night is coming. There's only so much time that I have to finish this work. And to every single one of us watching this evening, no matter how young you are, if you're a Christian, God has a purpose for your life. He's called you for something. And you'll never fulfill that if you don't redeem your time. You'll never fulfill the commission that Christ died for you to fulfill. You'll never be what you're supposed to be as a believer if you waste your time so much. You know, if social media is so important and video games are so important and, you know, just watching YouTube for hours is so important to you, it's very, very difficult for the Holy Ghost to get enough of an influence inside of your life to press you and compel you to go and do exploits for the Lord. It's very hard because we're not redeeming the time. You know, and that's the problem with this digital age, is it's so easy for this to steal our time from us. Now, what did Jesus say in John 12? Then Jesus said unto them, to his disciples, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon. So Jesus was saying, I'm not going to be with you much longer. You're on a countdown. Use the opportunity you've got now while I'm with you. And that's exactly what I believe the Lord would say to each and every one of us, to say, be careful. You don't have unlimited time. Time is a very finite resource. We've only been given a certain portion of time, every single one of us in this life. And that's why David said, Lord, teach me to number my days. Teach me to realize my days are numbered. That every day that I waste, I can never get that day back again. That's what Jesus said to us. Now, what did Paul say in Romans 13? He says, knowing the time. He says, you should know the time as a believer, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. So don't slumber, don't be drowsy in this kind of time. For now our salvation is nearer than when we believed. The rapture is far closer now than it was when we first believed. The end of our lives, every single day gets a day closer. You are far closer to the end of your life than you've ever been before. You don't know when the Lord's going to call you to say, that's it, time is up. He says in 12, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. You can see these people of the past, they had a clarity of purpose and vision and urgency or something inside of their souls that pressed them onwards. Remember the voice from beyond the curtain of time that spoke to the prophet and said, just keep pressing on. If you only knew what was at the end of the journey, just keep pressing on. It's that pressing inside. But Satan would like to dilute that and make it lukewarm. You don't feel any reason to press anymore in your life. No desperation, no urgency, no really seeking the Lord in prayer, no searching to find the mind of God in his word, no seeking for opportunity to extend his kingdom and do exploits for the Lord. That's what this digital age will very easily do to you. Because it'll fill your time and your mind and your affections with so many other things, some of them not sinful, but where the sin comes in is you're not redeeming the time. That's where the sin comes in. Not so much sometimes the time you're spending, sometimes it's the content. Other times it's the time and the content. These are the things that hold us back. And the prophet says that in 7 weeks of Daniel, speaks of how Daniel in chapter 9 got into an urgent seeking of the Lord in a desperation when he read the prophet Jeremiah's prophecy of his age. It says, if Daniel, the prophet of the Lord, could consult Jeremiah's books and bring him to such a place, Daniel 9, that even Israel coming out of Babylon to go back to the homeland would cause him to fast with sackcloth and ashes. Daniel didn't want to miss it. He knew this is an important junction in time. I don't want to miss what the Lord's going to do. So I'm going to lay aside my food, lay aside my pleasant food and drink that at this time, just going to take a simple diet. I'm going to seek the Lord to make sure I'm in tune at this particular junction. The prophet says, if Daniel did that, how much more ought the church, ought it to do to the church of the living God, to know that time is fading out and shall be no more. The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the great millennium, is ready to set in. How can we spend wasteful time? Can you see what he's sitting? He gets into gambling, swimming holes on Sundays, and no time for the Lord. You see, now if you spend time with the Lord and you've really got it and you've done the will of the Lord and he's given you something to do and you've fulfilled his work for the day and you're tired and you want to go and rest and you want to play a game or you want to go and watch something, that's well and good, perfect. There's nothing wrong with that within measure. Go and relax, go and refresh yourself. You want to get online with your friends and chat with your buddies, have a good time. Wonderful. But the most important thing first is, what did the Lord want you to do that day? Have you finished the task that was appointed to you by the Lord? You know, are you walking in your calling? Are you fulfilling your individual commission? Because Christ called you for a purpose and he called me for a purpose. Mm-hmm. And we can get so involved in other things and that purpose is just drifting by you. Paul said, no, don't let it drift by us. That's why the Bible dictionary says, wisdom, according to Paul, being wise, is taking every opportunity today and fully using the time that's granted us. That's a wise person is building his house upon a rock. You're using your time wisely. The opportunities that you get to do something for the Lord, you're putting full first priority focus that you do that, and then you go and you rest and you do your other things. We have each been given the same amount of time, 24 hours a day. Mm-hmm. We've each been given. But the difference is how we redeem this divine gift. God has given us a gift every day of 24 hours. What are we doing with the stewardship of that gift that he gave to us? Instead of killing time, which the internet does, we should be redeeming time. Instead of counting the days, we should be making our days count. It's a big difference. Not just crossing days off a calendar. Oh, look how quickly April is going. Make your days count for something.
Yeah.
Look back and say, Lord, thank you for these days. I've made my mistakes. You know, I've fallen short. But I can see you leading me somewhere. I can see some momentum in my life. I can see some progress. I can see some fruits that you've allowed me to bring forth for your glory. Friends, we don't want these things to be a theory, just theoretically intellectual. We want to be bringing forth fruit. Jesus said, if you abide in me, you shall bring forth much fruit and my Father will be glorified. But you have to abide in him. We've got to be redeeming the time. And that's what Satan's done in this age now. He's given us all of this distraction, all of this attraction, saturated us, put it in our pockets, put it all around us. And we fall for it. And we get to the end of the day and you look back and you spend 6 or 7 hours on the screen. Many times, no sin, you didn't sin. But your sin was you didn't redeem the time. You didn't redeem the day. You never achieved anything in your call or your purpose with the Lord in the day. No, saints, we really need to be careful of these things. Indeed, eternity will be appreciated only in the measure that you have rightly handled time. If you use time well, eternity is going to be an even greater blessing to you. But if you don't use your time well in time, you're going to miss out on a lot in eternity. Why? Look what Brother Ram says. All too little time is spent laboring for the eternal rewards of God. What did Jesus command us to do? Store up treasures in heaven. We can store up treasures in heaven by following the Lord, being led by him, being used of him, doing good works. That doesn't save us. It's not for your salvation. But you're storing up an eternal reward. He says, all too little time is spent laboring for the eternal rewards of God. The recompense, the reward of God, is too lightly esteemed. We don't think of it seriously. We don't care. As long as I get to heaven. And you're going to get there and you're going to have so much regret because you're going to look back in your life as, I wish I'd done more for the Lord. Every single one of us is going to feel like that. But there's going to be some people who feel it so much more than others. They're going to say, how could I have sat there 4 hours a day watching YouTube videos when there was a world perishing around me? I had neighbors. I had new people coming to church, people I could have encouraged, people I could have prayed for. I had my Bible. I had 2,000 messages I could have listened to better equip me to overcome in the day that I was. I had a mobile phone. I could have fellowshipped with other people. I could have got on Facebook. I could have told somebody about the Lord. I could have reached out to encourage somebody else. But instead, we spend it just wastefully. Oh, friends, I don't want to get there on that day and have undue sorrow in eternity because I wasted time, because I never redeemed time. He says in the second paragraph, if we believe in the reality of the resurrection of the body, if we believe in the rapture, that when you die or when Christ comes, we are going to, in our bodies, in glorified bodies, we're going to live for eternity. He says, in an eternal kingdom of substance, we're going to live in a real place. The prophet says eternal life is a continuation of this life in another place. You're going to be just as conscious as you are now. You're going to be you, but you're going to be in another place. If you believe that, that it's a real place and that Christ is real and he's redeemed you for a purpose, he says, then we ought to lay up in heaven those good treasures that are available to the faithful saints. Because saints, it's now or never. We're never going to get to day again. And time is the seed of eternity. Now we sow and we get a harvest in eternity. To make our life count for eternity, we must be wise in how we spend our time today. We'll never get another chance to serve Jesus. We'll never get another chance to do exploits for the king. We'll never get another chance to fight through the Philistines to give him a fresh drink of water. You know, the prophet speaks, giving him genuine worship, Christ being the son of David. We'll never get another opportunity. So while we appreciate it, it's okay. Look, we can argue about which kind of games we can play, which ones we shouldn't, how much time we should spend. The Bible says you don't need any man to teach you, but the anointing you have received, it will teach you. The state of your own soul before God, the quickening power or lack thereof. You know, the overcoming power or lack thereof inside of your life is testimony well enough to whether you're handling the digital dimension wisely or not. That'll testify. My own soul, my own Christian life will testify to me whether what I'm doing is redeeming the time and pleasing the Lord, or I'm wasting time and displeasing the Lord. And the Lord cannot bless a lukewarm life. He cannot. No, he can't. I know the amens have stopped, but it's okay. We'll continue on. So the question is, what will your eternal harvest be? How much treasure do you have in heaven? What have you done for your Lord? What are you doing for you, King? You young guys who gather on each day and you want to fellowship with each other, it's good, and you get on your games and you talk, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But can it not be that sometimes you gather together to speak, to say, guys, can't we do something for the Lord? Can't you gather and speak and say, guys, let's start a Facebook page, or let's do something for the Lord? Or, you know, can you not gather together once in a while and redeem the time? Let your fellowship be around exploits for the Lord. Let your fellowship be around you, or you sisters that gather and talk, you know, at 9 o'clock at night, and when you get up in the morning, encouraging one another to do something for the Lord, to make your day count for the Lord, to make your life count for the Lord, to fulfill the Holy Commission, the call that the Lord has put upon your life. Because if we're just gathering together to speak to one another, we're not helping each other in our calling, we're not helping each other in those gatherings. It's like if we gather together at church and you don't feel challenged in your soul and encouraged in your soul and quickened in your soul to go out and do something for the Lord, I don't know what you're doing in church. Because we're supposed to be, the Bible, Paul said, exhorting one another unto love and good works. That's what we should be doing. Mm-hmm. He says, and also, don't have the habit of some. He says you should be exhorting one another not to forsake the assembling of one another together. We should be encouraging and stirring up the gift in one another. Being your brother's keeper, watching over the souls, helping, edifying. We don't have a chance to get into today, but the things we say are supposed to build other people up, encourage them, better equip them to push on like David and Jonathan. Now, that kind of relationship. So there's nothing wrong as gathering online. There's nothing wrong of connecting with our friends. There's nothing wrong with us playing games with our friends. Nothing wrong with us connecting through, you know, getting on social media with our friends. But what are you doing behind it? When you balance up your life and all the time you're spending with your friends online, or all the time you're spending with people on social media, how much of that has eternal value? How much of that has real worth in it? How much of that is for the kingdom of God? How much of that is for Christ who died for you? How much of that is an expression back to him to say, Lord, I want to do something for you because you died for me. Give me an opportunity to serve you. How much of it? Because in this age, it's very easy to go days and weeks with unredeemed time, never redeeming the time. Let's not do that, saints. Let's not allow the devil to rob us of our crown, to rob us of our eternal reward. They're getting us so busy in this dimension of time with unnecessary things. Things which are okay in measure, but our measure is far beyond the boundaries, surely, because we're not spending anything like that measure redeeming time. Our redeemed time is so much less than our unredeemed time generally. Is that the way that a Christian life is supposed to be? I don't think so. I sent that one out yesterday to spend time wisely. Invest it in eternity. When you young people are encouraging one another, one young brother struggling along the way, hey brothers, let's contact that brother, let's encourage him tonight. You are investing in eternity. You're reaching out to somebody, you're doing something for the Lord, you're doing something for your King. That is now storing up treasure in heaven. Even a cup of water given to a disciple will not lose its reward, Jesus said. Imagine. God notes every single one of those things. You're not doing it to earn a reward. You're doing it because you love the Lord. But friends, we really need, the prophet says, to esteem, to think highly of this eternal reward that God has, treasures in heaven stored up for the saints. Because opportunity will never come again. You're never going to have this time again. We're never going to have today again. We're never going to have the past again. The days are evil. Opposition is great. We need to be as wise as serpents. We don't need to be fools. We need to understand what the will of the Lord is. Ephesians 5, verse 17. Paul's already told us what the will of the Lord is in measure. Redeem the time. That's his will. These words ring with a sense of urgency. It's like Paul is urgent, saying, guys, wake up. Don't fall asleep. Let's do something for the Lord. Time's running out. This opportunity is given, you will never come again. They're like the words of a platoon leader addressing his unit just before they enter combat. It's like the voice, press on, keep pressing on. Do something for the Lord. Don't give in. The reward is great. If you only knew what is at the end of the journey, we should be doing that because we have been given the stewardship of time. Just like your money, you're going to have to give an account one day before Christ for how you spent your money. The same with your time. Look what the Bible says, Romans 14. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Friends, I don't want to be embarrassed on that day. I've got things that I look back, wasted opportunities, chances I never took when I should have, and unredeemed time in my past that I'm embarrassed. I repent before the Lord for that. I don't want to get there on that day. And I have such a regret. He saved me by his grace. But when I have to give an account, and the Lord's going to say, but you spent hundreds of hours in a year playing games. You spend hundreds or thousands of hours in a year on social media, 365 days in a year. Some people spend 3, 4 hours a day on social media. That's 1,200, 1,300 hours of social media a year. How many hours of YouTube just watching things got nothing with really edify, nothing that help, nothing that better equip you to serve the Lord? And we're going to stand there and the Lord's going to say, I gave you a stewardship. I gave you time. I gave you so many years. I didn't ask you for it all. I gave you so many hours to rest, so many hours to earn your money, so many hours to have recreation. But how much of that time did you give back to me? How much of that time did you redeem? It's a serious thought, saints. And if you want our testimony on that day not to be an embarrassing one, we need to start planning from now. We need to start looking into eternity now. Just say, I don't want to get there on that day and say, Lord, thank you for saving me, but Lord, I'm embarrassed. I did so little for you. You don't want it to be like that. I don't want it to be like that. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That's not the white throne judgment. This is the judgment for rewards when the crowns and thrones are given out. You know, when we stand there as his bride and he discerns every single one of us, oh, friends, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, whether according to his done, whether of good or bad. So he's going to try our works, wood, hay, and stubble, and gold, silver, precious stones. The good things will pass the test. He's going to give us a reward. The vain things we did, they'll be burnt like wood, hay, and stubble. You get no reward for them. It was just wasted, wasted time, wasted opportunity, opportunity that he gave you that never came back again. Now, in the last age, the missionary age, there were a lot of people spoke about this topic because they were an age that went out to do things for the Lord. The evangelistic age, the age of the open door. Robert Moffat in Zimbabwe, we know him well. We used to have Moffat Street in our town. The missionary to Africa said, "We shall have all eternity in which to celebrate our victories, but only one short hour before the sunset in order to win them." So he's saying it's like a great battle. You're on the battlefield and the sun's about to go down. You've just got a little bit of time to do great exploits for the king. Use that time wisely, and forever after that, you'll rejoice in the victory that you've won. We'll have eternity to celebrate our victories, but you've only got a finite time, so much time allotted to us to win these victories. And Satan wants to come with Facebook and WhatsApp. He wants to come with all manner of consoles, devices, all these things, screens, to try to take us away from this battlefield. So we spend a lot of other time on a lot of other things. And we spend no time, no meaningful redeemed time on things for the king. Oh, friends, it's not a nice thing to think about. He says, oh, to be a faithful steward of the breath that God has given me. Yeah, God's given me breath. He's given me so many days, so many times I can breathe. If I could just be faithful with that. Surely God means for our minutes on earth to count for something significant. Now, the time that he's given us, he wants it to make it different. It might be simple, maybe humble, but no, he's called you for a purpose. He wants you to put your life in his hands and so they can use you for his glory. So that, you know, he can edify, he can build up his kingdom. You can be used in prayer, testifying, or whatever simple thing the Lord's going to use you to do, even just spending time in his word or time encouraging somebody else. It's a wonderful thing to do. Paul said, in the day of Christ, I will have reason to glory because I did not run in vain, nor toil in vain. Paul knew, I'm not running in vain. I'm not spending my time and my life in vain. All that I'm doing, I'm going to glory in it one day because the Lord gave me this as a commission. In the same way, I have good hope from the Lord that my labor is not in vain in the Lord. This missionary said, so I have good hope that my labor that I'm doing for the Lord is not in vain, just as it was with Paul. Time, as we finish, time is a strange commodity. We can't save it. We can't retrieve it when it's gone. We can't relive it. We can't stretch it. We can't borrow it. We can't loan it to somebody else. We can't stop it or store it. The only thing we can do is either use it or lose it. And Paul's trying to say to us, he's saying, look, I'm not saying every minute or every day. No, that's being extreme. He said, but make sure that give the Lord the best of your day. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Make sure you've redeemed the day before you start getting into all the unredeemed things. Look to the Lord in a simple way. You might say, what am I supposed to do? I'm a housewife. You can pray for your family. You can contact somebody else on the phone. You can, you know, whatever. You can get in the word and try to get a closer walk. You can help your children. You know, each and every one of us, if we seek the Lord, there's more than enough opportunity that he'll give us, even in the simple things, to redeem the time, because that's what he wants us to do. It's not how long we live that counts, but how we live. So whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. When the Lord gives you opportunity, redeem that time. Use that opportunity, because we want to be men of purpose. We want to put these things into the hands of the Lord. So I'm going to skip a little bit. Imagine the prophet when he went beyond the curtain of time in the vision. And all these millions of people came and screamed all at once. If you hadn't have went, we wouldn't be here. Imagine that reward. Imagine the stars in his crown when he got there. The question is, will there be any stars in your crown? With the way that you're spending your time and I'm spending my time, are you winning people to Christ? Are you helping people to get closer to the Lord? When you get there on that day, you'll have a crown by grace, but are there going to be any stars in your crown? Because now's the opportunity we can store up these rewards. The time is short. This is a famous hymn writer, Horatio Bonner. The time is short. If you would work for God, it must be now. That's how I'm bringing it tonight. Now, if you want to do something for the Lord, you can't plan for tomorrow. Plan in your heart to say, Lord, in this season now of my life, I want to do something for you. I want to serve you. If you would win the garland for your brow, you know, the victor's crown, you need to redeem the time. Because with his reward, he comes, Christ. The Bible says he cometh and his reward is with him. With his reward, he comes. He tarries not. His day is near. When men least look for him, he'll be here. So prepare for him. We don't want to be caught unawares. We don't want to be embarrassed and ashamed that we're like the steward that was given the talents and went and just buried it in the ground and waited for the master to come back and gave him back the one talent. He says, you foolish servant. You should have gone at least to earn interest. I gave you something to be used, but you never used it. Jesus warned us of that when he speaks of the coming of the Lord. And let's not forget that idleness and lukewarmness are bosom buddies. These two go together. When you're idle, when you don't spend redeemed time, you end up getting lukewarm. That's why I said there's such a link between overly using social media, overly playing games, overly consuming content on the internet, and your spiritual life. One will lead you to lukewarmness if you're not wise. So let's finish up. David Brainerd, the missionary to the Indians in the 1700s, who died among the Indians. I've read his journal, so powerful, how he went to live among, how God brought a revival among the American Indians. He says, oh, how precious is time, and how guilty it makes me feel when I think I've trifled away. You know, I just wasted and misemployed it. I didn't use it properly, or neglected to fill up each part of it with duty to the utmost of my ability and capacity. He says, I'm ashamed. I'm embarrassed because it's been so much of my life that I wasted, so much of my time that I could have done something for the Lord, but I never did it for him. He says, oh, that I might not loiter. I might not relax, fall asleep, be lazy on my heavenly journey. Friends, we're on a journey into a kingdom. We're already in the kingdom spiritually. We're on a heavenly journey. We're in a heavenly calling. We have a heavenly call upon our lives. That's got to be our focus in this lukewarm age. And the only way we can be what we're supposed to be is to redeem the time. This will be the last thing. The song, Only One Life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. This was written by C.T. Studd. He was a famous cricketer. If we used to play for England in the 1800s, then he got the call and he went to Africa as a missionary. And he went to he was a very good missionary in Africa. I'm just going to read three verses. He wrote this song that this is taken from. Two little lines I heard one day, traveling along life's busy way, bringing conviction to my heart, and from my mind would not depart. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, the still small voice gently pleads for a better choice. So he's saying, the Lord is saying, choose more wisely, use your time. The choices you make and how you're going to use your time, please be wiser. Bidding me selfish aims to leave. So he's saying, that voice is saying, lay aside your selfish things, the things which are just for yourself and your flesh. Bidding me selfish aims to leave and to God's holy will to cleave. Hold on to God's will for your life. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life. Yes, only one. Now let me say, thy will be done. And when at last I'll hear the call, I know I'll say 'twas worth it all. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Then he finishes. It says, only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. And when I am dying, how happy I'll be if the lamp of my life has been burnt out for thee. It's a serious thing, saints. And every single one of us are on the borderline of eternity. Every single one of us, we hear that voice of the Holy Ghost pleading with our souls, saying, please redeem the time for your good, for the good of my kingdom. I've loved you. I've called you. I've loved you with an everlasting love. I've redeemed you with my blood. I showed you. I redeemed the time when I was on earth. I had an urgency. I tried every minute that I possibly could, that I had in my grasp, to use it for you. So give time back to me. Give me time that I can quicken and I can bless, and it becomes a redeemed time that you can be used for my glory. And not only will you, I use you for my glory, but I'll even reward you because you've allowed me to use you for my glory. But it's only one life, saints. 'Twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. So as we're looking at this internet age, and we're looking at all of these things, I would say, to me, this was the main theme that I really wanted to hit. To say all the other things, we can speak about them. How much time should we spend, and all these other things. But to a genuine believer who's in their calling, a genuine believer who wants to walk with Christ in their age, a genuine believer who wants to be like Enoch in their day, you don't need somebody to be telling you, you only should spend 2 hours playing this and 1 hour playing that, or you be careful, don't spend 3 hours on social media. The anointing you received, the grace of God in your heart is the one that'll be telling you yourself to say, no, don't do that. Rather seek me at this time. Come and get shut in with me. Come and pray. Get in my word. Listen to the message. Get in fellowship with others. And friends, if it's not like that, we need to be seeking for help. We need to be seeking for the grace of God. We need to be asking, ask me, ask. We have tremendous Sunday school teachers. We have tremendous ministers and deacons. Ask Brother Wilmore for help. Ask Brother Ellie. Ask Brother Dave. Ask Brother Max. Our Sunday school teachers, Sister Aggie, Sister Angel, Brother Faithful, Brother Joel, whoever's involved, Brother Greg, and yeah, and Sister Liana, and all, every single one who's involved, and all of our deacons, Brother Clayton and Brother Mike, and each and everyone, Brother Dave. We've got wonderful people. Then we have Brother George. We've got Brother Jess. We've got so many good people round and about. Now, we all need help from one another, because two is better than one. We need to be our brother's keeper. And if I'm redeeming the time in my own little way, I can at least fill up the gap that the Lord wants me to fill. And if you're redeeming the time in your own way, you'll be fulfilling your part of Christ. And together the body will be building itself up and edifying itself in love, Paul says. And we keep moving forward in the midst of an evil day. That's why Paul says, let's not be as fools. Let's be circumcised. Let's be circumspect. Let's use our time wisely, because the days are evil. And friends, we're living in the time of the God of this evil age, this Tower of Babel, as we said, you know, this Satan's Eden. We're right at the top of this tree of knowledge, and Satan has perfected his system to defile and to make us lukewarm. But God has sent us a message. God has given us a revelation to climb to the top of the tree of life, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Such a revelation in this age that it'll change our mortal bodies one of these days. But we need to redeem the time, because the days are evil. Let's pray. Father, I just bring this before thee this day. Lord, I plead guilty myself before thee, Lord. You know, even in my own prayers, when I'd ask of you for forgiveness, when I look back in days and times gone by, and I see opportunities, Lord, that I never redeemed, and all those chances have gone in, and people that, Father, Lord, you passed in my sphere of influence, and I never testified the right way to them, and now they've passed out of the sphere of influence, and Or we can just pray for those people that you bring somebody else in, Lord, to finish the work that you have begun. But Jesus, we thank you that we're saved by grace. We thank you that it's not by works, Lord. We thank you that our works are but an expression of your grace in us, Lord, that our works are just an appreciation for what you've done for us. So help us on this, Lord, especially help our young people. The joy when you're young to serve the Lord, the joy when you have strength, like Paul said, to give your strength, your heart and your strength to the Lord, to do great things before you're married and before the complications and pressures of life come in. I pray they'll catch that vision. I pray, Lord, they'll realize that, oh, Father, we can store up treasures in heaven. Lord, we can live such a fulfilling life, such a blessed life with you in time, which is just a foretaste of the glory that shall be in eternity. Father, may just take these few broken up words this day and just impress it upon our hearts, Lord. Let that same voice from the supernatural realm that spoke to the prophet say, just keep pressing on, just keep pressing to the end of the journey. Help us, Lord, with prayer. Do you pray, Lord, for each and every one, Lord, that should be limping at this time, if lukewarmness has come in, or discouragements and disappointments and temptations. I pray that you'll meet them at their point of need. I pray that you'll minister the oil and the wine unto them. I pray you'll quicken them to seek for help. And Father, Lord, to help us to walk one with another. Because if one falls, you said, another one can pick him up. If one is cold, the other one can give him heat. So may you bless the study, Lord. May you bless the remainder of our fellowship together, Lord. You know the intent of my heart in these things, Lord. Father, Lord, just in this age, to try to blow the trumpet in this age. Father, as a watchman upon the wall, seeing how the enemy is getting into the breaches, Lord. Father, Lord, just defiling and bringing lukewarmness into such lives that are so full of potential, that could be so full of blessing and glory if they would just redeem the time. I pray your grace, I pray your mercy be with us now. In the remainder, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Saints, God bless you, saints. Anybody, any questions, any thoughts? I will unblock everybody who can't connect up. Okay, you can unmute yourselves. Anybody want to ask anything or contribute to anything on that sense? Okay, sorry, I've got one there on WhatsApp, yeah? Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you very much for that. Okay, sorry, saints, I'm just getting a... Okay, if anybody wants, I'm just finding this question here. Okay, it's a very good question. Is how do you properly repent? Well, to repent, first of all, is to have sorrow for what you've done. It's like you're agreeing with the Lord. Like, let's say tonight, all of us, I'm sure every single one of, Brother Ram says, we all backslide every day in our hearts. That's why Christ died for us. So, you know, you look at your life and say, Lord, I agree with you. I'm not redeeming the time. I'm wasting too much time in my life. By just agreeing with the Lord, that's the beginning of repentance, because you've changed your mind. You know, you're agreeing with him. Brother Ram says, the moment you're sorry in your heart, God will forgive you. That's what repentance is. You're like, you're sorry in your heart. Say, Lord, I don't want to be like this, Lord. I remember the glory I used to have in my life. I remember when you were real. Like I think of our brothers that used to get out on the streets and were zealous giving out tracts and that. And inside of their hearts, they're sad for that. They say, I want to get back to my first love. That's repentance. You're sorry for whatever that it is, whatever the Lord has shown you, whatever shortcoming, whatever wrong, whatever, you know, omission, whatever you've done, whatever lukewarmness you've allowed, whatever defilement you've allowed, whatever, you know, whatever it is inside of your life, you're not arguing with the Lord. You're not trying to justify yourself, but you're saying, Lord, I plead guilty. I'm sorry. Now grace comes in. That's repent. God will forgive you of that sin. That'll be washed in the blood of the Lamb. He'll wash it out of the book. It'll never, ever be brought to your account again. Now, it's good then to confess it with your lips. Just go and pray to him and ask, Lord, you spoke to my heart. I'm very, very sorry for this. Please help me at this time inside of my life, Lord. Yeah, that's confessing it now as well, openly. And to repent, maybe you did something wrong to somebody else. It's finding the right time, right opportunity to go and say to them, already you're sorry in your heart. Now you're going to express that sorrow to them. You're repenting to them. That's how you make that right. So that's what repentance is. If you've been convicted of something, you agree with the Lord and you plead guilty and you just speak to them and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. As simple as that. Anybody else there, saints? Any other questions or anything else that we have? Well, people are just saying, ouch. There's no real formula. I just got another question. There's no real formula in what you say, because God, you don't need to have say certain words like I repent or forgive me. Both of them mean the same thing. But God sees your heart. You know, repentance is an attitude in your heart. God really sees deep down inside that you're sorry. You know, within the veil, within your heart, within you, the real you, you're sorry for what it is that's happened. Yes, it's good to say, Lord, please forgive me. Jesus said we should pray in the Lord's Prayer, you know, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive them who forgive us. So it's good to ask the Lord to forgive you. Say, Lord, please, even as I forgive other people, please forgive me. It's good. But it's not so much the formula of what you say, it's the attitude of your heart that gets the results when you repent. A very good question. Anybody else, saints? Now, I do realize we've been quite a bit on this topic, and saints, I don't apologize one little bit for that, because I do see just what an impact this digital age is having on the Christian church. You see it, and all of us. We all get caught up sometimes watching too much of foolishness and spending too much time on something, and you feel it in your soul. You know, you started the day with vision and purpose, you got in the word, you start walking with the Lord, and then you just allow all these unnecessary things in, you know, beyond what you should. There's time, like I say, you need to rest. Nothing wrong sitting watching a movie with your friends or with your family if it's the right film at the right time to relax and rest. But I'd say in a lukewarm age, we need to really make sure that we follow that anointing of the Holy Ghost and we keep it within the right boundaries. Otherwise, it's very easy for the camel to take over the tent, and you find yourself out the tent. Brother George, God bless, bro.
Yeah, Pastor, don't class our silence as a protest. What you spoke is it's amazing, and it's not like it's it's unnecessary. It
Absolutely.
touches everyone's life. There's no starting from me and
Absolutely. All of
going
us.
to other people. So it
Amen.
touches everyone, and it's exactly what Dr. Jesus would prescribe in my life. And I
Yeah.
believe many lives. I see not only even I see people I work with, they can't do without. Same me as well. I woe is me, you know. I'm a man undone. But it's so everything you're saying, just to encourage you, everything you're saying and you're going to say, it's something that you don't need to take 2 minutes. It's something that really needs a revisit and a revisit and a re because the device is absolute destruction in our lives. And I thank God for everything you said. And whilst you were saying it, I was on the train coming in and I was thinking to myself to say, hey, you know, you can think you're doing well one way, but behind you there's a window you've left open.
Yeah.
The window of these devices, you know, you've left that open in your life. So it's always good when the word comes like this to have a reassessment of my life and check, hey, so where have I? And I find I say, woe is me, my two hands are up. Thank you so much.
Every one of us, Brent. It's
Thank
true.
you so much.
Yeah, and what it was, but just like yesterday when I just had a little bit of time, I was preparing and I found what we were speaking about, the boundaries, parameters. I went, I was looking out that way. Then I got up in the morning and I just wasn't happy with that. And I said, Lord, there's something else you want, said, yeah. And I really prayed. And I said, Lord, the most important thing is if you could help us at our Bible study, that what is it that you would say is the most important? What is it we need to say? And that scripture while I was praying came so strong of redeeming the time. And I got straight off my knees. I got my Bible. I started to study it. And I got so much in the presence of God in the morning. And I just knew, okay, Lord, thank you. This is what you once said. Because that's as somebody like that, as somebody goes to witness or some song leader or as a minister, you know how the Lord confirms to you what needs to be said. And then I made a little, that little thumbnail today about, you know, if you want to spend your time wisely invested in eternity, I sent it out. And then so many people came back to me. Brother Taurai from Nottingham came back, said, "Brother, that's exactly what I was on this morning." And he even sent me a little video about redeeming the time. I said, "Oh, Brother Taurai, that's exactly the scripture I'm going to use today in the Bible study." And then another sister contacted me as well, Sister Ida. Exactly the same thing she was on in the morning, sharing with her group. And now someone had emailed her saying that was really challenging this morning about redeeming the time and so forth. And then I saw, okay, Lord, I think maybe this is the word in season. So, you know, and just when I studied it during the day in the midst of other things, I could really feel it inside of my own soul that, yes, we can get down to trying to say how long skirts should be and how much time we should spend, how high heels should be. And those things are good in their own measure. But it's really, you need just the Holy Ghost inside of your life, and he will govern you. Because you will know when you're spending too much unredeemed time by your own dissatisfaction in your heart that you've lost his fellowship. You've lost the real blessing. You've lost the real quickening you once had. Now, you don't need anybody to teach you, Paul said these things. Now, for the young children who don't know the Lord, and you know, yes, we need to get on to what boundaries parents should put and what they recommend. But to me, the spiritual side in this age is the most important, because Satan has perfected his Eden. And this is one of his super weapons that he's using in this age. And we need to be wise. We don't need to be fools and just follow the course of the world and just fall into the same snare and trap as them. But we need to keep the principles of the word the same. And if you keep Christ before you, and that I want to serve my Lord, I don't want to come to the last dying breath if I go by the way of the grave, lying on my bed full of regret. I don't want that. I want to be like Moses. I don't want to have any trouble at the river. You know, I want to get there with all the mistakes that I've made, but at least with a joy inside of my soul to say, Lord, I know at least up there, there's stars in my crown. I know you helped me to lead people to you. And I know you helped me in my own little way to help other people in their walk with you. That's all that I desire. And whether I have a house or I have a car or I have money or riches, those things are secondary, because you're going to leave those things behind. But like the prophet says, when the death rattles in your throat, when you're struggling for breath that day, think of it now. Start planning now. You know, start planning so you don't have regrets when you, by the time you don't even like Schindler at the end, Oscar Schindler saying, I should have sold this car. I could have gained another 100 Jewish souls if I'd have done it. Then you don't want to be crying at the end of the journey saying, but no, why did I spend so much time on my studies? Or why did I spend so much time on YouTube? Why did I spend so much time, you know, needlessly on these things when there was the service of the King? The most glorious thing that can be done is to serve Christ in my age. And I never focused on that. The calling that he called me to, I put it down in my list of priorities, and I allowed all these other things to flood me and swamp me and just make everything diluted and lukewarm inside of my life. No, I make up my mind. No, I want to draw a line in the sand. If my devices stand in the way, then I'm going to get rid of my devices. We'll look at it maybe on Sunday.
Pastor, you know, even if I could say one last thing, you know, yesterday when I went to this funeral, I remember Ben.
It's not extreme what I just said.
It's not. Pastor, I remember when I went to this funeral yesterday, and Ben was someone that thanked the Lord that we've been close with, and we tried. Well, I personally tried my best. But when you're there and the man is in his casket and you hear his children crying, brother, you know, I said to myself, you know, with what you're saying, there were times where Ben texted and he called, and I never responded. But I responded to the call of the media and social media and all that. Imagine the time you think when the man is laying there, you say, hey, do you know what? I could have put in more time with this man. I never put in enough time with this man. For me, Pastor, I say you haven't started yet.
Yeah, well, but I think the main point has been said. I think anything else is really secondary. Tonight is really the heart of the issue. It really is. You know, and all of us know that there's times we need to fast from certain things. So if I see that, like Brother James and Glober said the other Wednesday afterwards, when it was very good what he said. you know, I get up in the morning, I pray, seek the Lord. Then I wondered what's going on in my life, because I'm going to work, I'm listening to the politics, what's happening in America and all this. And during the day, I'm on BBC looking what's going on. He says, and I realized, wow, I've lost the momentum I had at the beginning of the day. And he says, so I made up my mind for this season now, I'm going to fast from those things. I'm going to purge those things out of my, he says, and instead of that, I get in the Word. He says, and then I found the quickening came, the momentum came back. So there's got to come times you've got to be like Daniel was for 21 days. He was extreme because the conditions in that juncture needed desperation. So he said, I'm not going to eat pleasant food. I'm not going to anoint myself like normal, but I'm going to set my face to seek the Lord for 21 days. And he did. And then there came the vision of the 70 weeks of Daniel and all the things that the Lord unfolded to him. So, you know, there's times we've got to really just say enough is enough. And if we don't, well, just next year we'll be saying the same things again, and your life will still be in the same condition, and another year will have gone by, and you know, you'll just have another year of regret. You don't want it to be like that. Sister Lydia, God bless you, sister.
God bless you, Pastor. Thank you for saying this. you know, sometimes I can have like an excuse to say, oh, we are busy, you know, so we allow, you know, things. And, you know, but like I so much appreciate this approach because, you know, sometimes I would be quick, you know, to quickly switch off internet, take the devices from the children, and then they would tell me, but mommy, but you still have your phone or listen to something or do something. And this is so good, like from the word of God, you know, that we should redeem the time, you know, because like we can say all those kind of rules, you know, let's do this, let's do this, which is good. It's very good, you know, but in our heart, if it's not real, so, you know, true. And also what I want to say, you know, sometimes I admire those people who kind of, you know, they don't use maybe games at all. They don't use social media at all, kind of. And, but at the same time, from one hand, I'm happy that sometimes like we've been through all this and, you know, like how to overcome. Yeah. Because you see, like, let's say if we never allow games, if we never use social media, or if we say, okay, we are believers, we can never do this.
Yeah.
And then there would be no overcoming. So like we can overcome, I believe, you know.
And also, especially like social media, Facebook can be used for the glory of God. I mean, YouTube can be used for the glory of God. Any of the, like, we use WhatsApp for church. It would be very difficult for us on church if we didn't have WhatsApp, like communication. I remember days gone by before WhatsApp, I used to have all the numbers of people, and then you have to send a text message. And each time, call up the contact, send a text message. Call up the next contact. You know, it's like it was so painful to contact people. So there's a lot of good things we can glean from this. But, I mean, it's can very, very, very easily get out of control. When you're saying about you know, the boundaries and parameters, we do need them in every aspect of life. We do need, but if you think of the government with driving, they don't just allow anybody to drive on the road. You've got to be over 16 or over 17, whatever. You've got to first pass a test and all these, then you can only drive on a certain speed for so much time. So, you know, and all of these things, we need guidelines. We need regulations and boundaries and parameters, especially when children are young. We can't just allow them to have these things unrestricted. The thing you're saying is the big mistake we all made was we want peace and quiet, so we put a screen to babysit our children. We've just allowed the devil into their life in a big way if you're not careful, because, wow, the things that can come through there, the influence that can come through there, you know, and you think it's helping you in the short term, but it's making you a long-term problem. So, yeah, I think we've all learned from this. But yes, we do need to redeem the time. And look, don't get me wrong. In a day, there's no way any of us are ever going to live a day and say, I'm really happy with the way that I lived for the Lord today. We're in the flesh. There's the world, the flesh, the devil. We're always going to fall short. We're always going to have regrets in this life. But Like the soul winner's joy. When you redeem the time, there's the joy in your soul. The Lord blesses you in your soul. So you may not have done everything which you really desired to do, but the Lord will bless you because he sees your heart. He sees your desire. And I think that's what you want to walk with in your life. You know, you want the blessing of the Lord inside of your soul. And I think social media, if you're not careful and abuse it, it takes the blessing away very quickly.
Yeah, sometimes I would like just not to have it, or like even not to have games, you know, like, but
Yeah,
sometimes
absolutely.
like
Even
children
me.
would say, okay, what can we do? It's raining, you know, all these our excuses, you know, we are getting used to say, oh, it's raining, you know, we have good excuse here in Ireland, it's
It
raining,
was
you know,
raining tonight. Sister,
but
like you say on that, when we were at Brother George's on Sunday, and we were with the all night people, including all the young people who were there, they wanted to have some fellowship, some questions and answers. We spoke about that. I mean, think 30 years ago,
what is this?
it's only the last 30 years that we've now had screens in our lives, that we've now had apart from television. So, you know, the world went on for 6,000 years finding things to do before the internet came. So for us to say, oh, there's nothing for us to do. We were speaking with our family yesterday. People always found, when I was young, we found things to do. There was hobbies, there was sports, there was, you know, games you could play, there was puzzles you would do, there was, you know, we'd always find, we'd go and climb in a tree, make a fort, we'd, you know, when we were younger. But the device is a very simple, easy, addictive fix. So if you keep giving in to that, they're always going to keep coming back to that. But when you put the right boundaries and parameters, and they have so much time now, then they have to find something to do. Then they're going to find there are plenty of things to do. But when we're not making them have to do it, then they're never going to do it. Why should they go and try to find something else to do when they've got a bright, colorful, you know, screen full of sounds and shooting things and chopping people and all this kind of stuff? Why should I go and draw a picture or paint a painting if I can do this? It's far more fun. That's what we've got to be careful. There's plenty for them to do, but we as parents need to be disciplined.
I remember, last thing I say, I remember when I was growing up, there was one family and they brought television to the house. You know, like we were growing up Christian family, and this was Christian family, some kind of further neighbors. They had 4 children and busy house. And at the time, I didn't understand them. We were 2 children in the house. We were growing up differently, but now I understand them because I have 5 children. I understand them now, but I'm seeing,
well.
You know, what they've done, that they brought that TV to the house. It kept children quiet, but it influenced the children for life.
Yes.
And it's now I'm looking at my life. You know, we don't have TV as TV, but we have things, you know, which are similar to that. And now I'm saying, Lord, I was looking at them when I was young, and now I'm doing the same, you know.
You know, sister, when we grew up, I mean, we grew up on a farm. We weren't so rich. We were like country people. Our neighbors were the first ones who got a black and white TV. I remember. And we used to go, my mom and dad used to take us when I was very young. We were still in our pajamas. We'd go and sit and watch. And they had like Rawhide and, you know, all these like cowboy films. And we'd watch it on this black and white screen. Yeah. And then the screen came into our home after a while. My dad managed to get a screen. And wow, it started to bring an influence. It really, really did. You know, but we only had one channel on our TV. We just had what then those was called RTV, Rhodesian TV, became ZTV. Later on, there came 2 channels. That's all we could ever get. Imagine on your phone, you can get anything you want. I mean, it's like you've got unlimited channels. So having a device, a screen or a phone or whatever, that's what Brahm said. He said, you Pentecostal people, you thought, we never go to the cinema. He said, Satan brought the cinema in your home. Now, like we said, that Satan's put the cinema in our pocket. There's nothing wrong with the screen itself. It's with the content and the amount of time we spend. So it's good. We can use it wisely. We can watch some good things. But we can't just let it be this overall fixer of all things, that when everything else fails, we all go to the screens. I mean, life shouldn't ever get to that. Now it's taken over. Now we need to take it under control. Now we need to put the boundaries and parameters and agreements. Okay, guys, this is too much now. And like that's why we're trying to explain why we need to make one. Okay. God bless you, bro.
Yeah. Okay. God bless. Thank you.
Okay.
May the
God
Lord
bless you.
help me. Help us.
Yes.
Oh, I was just gonna say it, Pastor, because the end of the year for 2024, your message was let's not live the same life 77 times. And that really hit me. I was like, 2024, I'm not gonna live the same life for 77 times. And all the preaching that's been said by all the deacons and yourself, it's only edifying us. This year is different.
True.
And like what you've mentioned, like for me, how I see is like whether listening to worldly music, these are symptoms.
True.
But you've hit it, the
Absolutely.
root cause.
Yeah.
And
That's
I
what it
think,
is.
yeah,
That's
you've
what it
just
is.
hit it because all that was just symptoms.
Yeah.
And you're treating, oh yeah, I need to stop worldly music, or I need to stop this, but it's not hitting the main
That's
root
right.
cause.
Now you're getting to the heart of the issue.
Exactly. And I believe like redeeming time, thinking about it, you mentioned fellowship. Yeah, when my time is spent on fellowship, my time spent on the word of God, I don't have time
If there's
to
time left
read.
over, wonderful. You know,
Yeah.
play games and do things
Yes.
like that, but
Exactly.
get the core job done first.
Yeah.
You know, Sister Aggie was saying just when we had our New Year's message, I read a man who said, I don't want to be a fool. I don't want to be a man who lives the same life over 77 times. You know, you don't want to do that. You don't want to live the same life every year. There's no progress. There's no change. You just live it. You don't want to do that. You don't want to be on that death walk inside of your life. But yeah, then she said, and this hits the real heart of the issue. All the rest of it is symptoms. All the rest of it is secondary issues. And if you get this one right, if you redeem the time. Now, the wonderful thing about the Lord is the Lord is not an extremist. God never ever comes down to you and says, you must pray the whole day. He never says that. He says, pray continually, stay in the spirit of prayer. Never be far from the spirit of prayer. But he never ever intended us to just all your time, you must focus on him. He gives us time to work, gives us time to sleep, gives us time to spend with our families, gives us time to have entertainment. You know, Jesus said we must rest for a while. There's nothing wrong with that. Gives us time to have our hobbies. But we've got to get the hub, the mainspring right. The absolute, the ultimate. What is governing our life? What is governing the way we spend our time? Once you get that right, you get it right in the middle, get your heart right, redeem the time, you know, spend time with the Lord each day. All those other things, the Lord says, it's fine. Go and do that. Go fishing. Go do whatever you want to do. There's nothing wrong with that. But the problem is these things have encroached in, and we're not, if we're not careful, we now totally forget about redeeming the time. Or that redeemed time becomes so small in the day and gets overwhelmed by all of these other things. And then people say we're extreme. That's the other extreme now. Now we've gone extreme on the other thing now. Now the phone is extreme though. You know, we're watching, what we're watching is extreme. And so God is in the middle of the road. He always wants us to keep a balance. He never asks us to do something we're not able to do. He understands the way that we made. But may the Lord help every one of us as individuals to find that balance, that channel, and to stay in it. We start straying out and you start showing us, be careful. You lose the blessing, come back into the channel again and live as much of your life as you can in that channel. Because that's when you're storing up treasure in heaven. That's when you're bringing forth fruit for his glory. That's when you're truly redeeming the time. So thank you, sis. It's very true. Anybody else before we finish there, saints? I think the point is got home. Let's pray for the weekend. Let's pray and see on Sunday what should be said. Some things I didn't say today because I thought it's better to say them in church when everybody's there. So let's just see how we get on the weekend. But really do, please, let's be in prayer about this. Also, just let's encourage our young ones. I love our young people. I mean, they're really fine young people. We don't ever want to come. That's why I showed the pictures that I did at the beginning. We don't want to be, you know, taskmasters to them and things like that. But there's certain principles that are just too important. If we love their souls and we love their lives, we need to stress these things and we need to encourage and exhort them unto love and good works. Because by just relaxing with them and not blowing the trumpet about these things, they will miss the best that the Lord has for them in their lives. They will miss the blessing that we had in our youth when we really redeemed the time. when we gave our time to the Lord and we were out testifying to people and doing what we could for the Lord, despite all of our mistakes as human beings. But you always look back and say, Lord, I don't regret those days for me. I could have, wish I could have done more, but I thank you for that opportunity that I didn't waste the days of my youth. And we don't want our young people to waste this opportune season and moment in their youth, but that they redeem it for the glory of God. And then all the other things, it's fine, the games, social, let those things all take care of themselves. But get first things first inside of your life. And you young guys, when you fellowship together, you young sisters, when you fellowship together, I remember Brother Biskell once coming, preaching, saying, I went on to the church youth forum, and all the guys were discussing was ice hockey, you know, the Vancouver Canucks. He said, it shouldn't be like that. Now, there's a time for that, a little bit, it's okay. But you can't major on a minor. You can't put your focus on things. So when you guys are fellowshipping and talking with your friends and spending time together, what is being done in that time? Yes, there's got to be time where you joke around. You know, that's, we all do that. But it can't be that all the time. There's got to be time where you're edifying each other, encouraging one another, speaking serious things and trying to say, okay, guys, hey, you hear what's being preached these days. What can we do for the Lord? Imagine if Daniel and William and Adam and all of them got together online, and James and Olivier and all of them, and they sat down. Oh, they got online and they said, okay, guys, let's discuss. Let's spend one evening per week, 1 hour or even whatever, 45 minutes, discussing these things. What can we do? What? How can we help at church? How can we help in the new building project? Whatever. You know, and start just putting all the energy and the inspiration you have and all the talents that you've got. God will bless you. It'll become a great, great thing. And your friendships will move into another dimension as well. You'll move into a spiritual dimension in your friendships. Now, people might not appreciate what I just said, but it's true, because that's how we grew up. Yeah, and that's why I'm friends with Brother George, Brother David, after all these years, because we had the spiritual dimension in our friendship. We would speak general things, yes, and laugh and joke about, but it would never stay like that forever. And it'd soon get on to serious things of speaking about the Lord and, hey, brother, pray for me. This is that. And, you know, hey, what about this? What about that? Let's go and speak to this person. And it was a glorious way to grow. And I really thank the Lord for those opportunities. And I desire the same for you young people. You know, to be fruitful in the days, to be a Daniel, to be a Joseph, to be a Samuel in the days of you, to really walk with the Lord. But it's not going to happen if you don't redeem the time. It'll never. It'll pass you by. Not to say you won't be a Christian, won't be a believer, but you'll miss out on the best, the cream of life, the real purpose that the Lord had for you. And I don't want that to happen to you. Let's just pray once more. Father, as we dismiss, may you please help us sink these things in our souls. Anything not of you, let it fall into the dust, we pray. But what is of you? Father, you are the one who speaks when the minister is silent, Lord, when you're in our beds at night, when you wake up tomorrow in the morning. Father, you help us in these things, that the word may be made flesh, we pray. Bless each of your people. Bless them on YouTube as well, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you, saints, until we meet again. God bless. Have a good night.
God bless you, Pastor. Thank you.
Thanks, bro. God bless you, bro. God bless.
God bless.
God bless. Oh, it's truly God bless. Good to hear from you.
Hi, Rachel.
Bye, Ellie.
God bless your family.
Thank you so much. And yours as well.
Hello and goodbye, Trudy.
Bye.
Bye.
God bless you, everyone. God bless, saints. Meet you on Friday by the grace of God.
Amen.